Today on Bridges, we're going to talk about practical faith. I'm glad you could join us for Bridges today. I'm Monica Schmelter, and on Bridges, we bring you hope for the journey. Today, we'll be talking about practical faith. And so we're going to look into the book of James, and my guest is Pastor Corey Trimble. He is the lead pastor at Experience Community Church. And Corey, it's always good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you having me again. I was saying I always get nervous when I come on here, but you always make me feel really comfortable. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, we want you here. You're my pastor, and I always enjoy talking to you. Now, this book, the book of James, I think of it as very practical, right?
Yes. But
it's written by an interesting person. So let's start with that.
Well, the biological brother of Jesus, who there are some groups, Christians, who might argue that if it was his literal brother, but I think the Bible makes it pretty clear that it is the literal brother of Jesus. And when I was teaching this last time I did, it was interesting because he doesn't lead off with that. James doesn't say, hey, I'm the brother of Jesus, so listen to me. He says, no, I am James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't play that card.
He doesn't. And I thought that's part of what's interesting about him. And I thought the other part that's super interesting to me is that he didn't always believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And I could imagine, like, if you're the sibling of Jesus, like, and your sibling says, hello, I'm God. Like, no, you're not.
I think we have to show some grace in the fact that exactly like you said, if my sibling that I grew up with, that I might have wrestled with or argued with or had debates with, said that he was the Savior of the world, I would probably have some doubts as well.
Yeah. So he's got that. And so, but now he becomes a servant of Christ and he doesn't do the name dropping thing. Mm-hmm. He's a servant. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing for all of us.
Right. And we can kind of loosely tie. I think sometimes we try to play almost the Christian card or the association with Jesus to maybe elevate ourselves. And I think sometimes as Christians, we mistakenly forget that we are to be the servants, the ones lifting up, supporting, and partnering with Christ, following him, and not trying to advance our own self-image.
Yeah. Or to make, you know, ourselves sound more important because we are a Christian, right? And
correct.
So therefore we know better and that all of our opinions are right. And we prayed about this and we're just really clear on it because we see all of that.
Yes. And again, as we go through the book of James, you'll see that humility is such a common thread throughout this entire thing. And I think James just starting off with, I'm a servant. I'm essentially placing myself at the lowest end of the spectrum. And then this whole very, very practical, straightforward book of the Bible
because
follows that.
It speaks to like everything in life.
Everything.
Yes.
It's very offensive.
because it's like I look at it and I think, oh, I resemble that.
Oh, yes.
I resemble that.
Yes.
And I resemble that. And so it's kind of the mirror when I look into this book that it helps straighten me out and readjust me because I see those human tendencies. The tendency to be selfish and all of that.
And very little ambiguity in this book.
Yeah.
Straightforward. There's little room for confusion, little room for debate. A lot of people say this book resembles the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament because it's just very, very clean cut. And again, there's not much theological wiggle room in the book of James. It's straightforward.
Yeah. And I think just about anybody could understand it because it is that clear. Mm-hmm. Because it speaks to so much practicality. What are some of the things that really stand out to you in this first chapter of James?
In the first chapter, I think later on, kind of in the second half of chapter one, something that I think is just very, very important from the book of James is faith that has action, faith that has works, that we are to, he even says, rid ourselves of moral filth and evil, that we have to consciously make a decision that we are going to live a life that does not look like the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that derogatory towards humans. I'm just talking about the culture of the world and that we have to choose to be not only hearers of what this book says, the whole book, but to take that and to place it into action and to live it out.
Yeah, to be doers of the word.
Doers of the word.
Because it can be easy enough, and I've done it, right? I can hear the word. I can agree with it because I believe it and I think, yes, that's good. Faith without works is dead. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But can I sometimes just stop at the faith part and not do what's required, not be obedient?
Absolutely not. I was telling this weekend when I was teaching, I try to have as much self-control and not bring my own feelings into the sermon as best as I can. But I've reached a point, I think, in American Christianity to where there are so many nominal Christians that say, I am a follower of Jesus, but there is no real evidence, action of that. And James would very much argue with those people.
Yeah, because I think people want to say this. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, okay, but demons believe. I mean,
James,
the Bible says that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Demons believe. So it can't be belief alone.
Right.
There has to be faith. There has to be action.
Right.
And we know that we all mess up. But as Christians, that we're not living a life of duplicity. We're not intentionally sinning. But when we sin, we repent. And I think it's important, right? We have to take our faith seriously.
Well, even you talking about repentance, we talk about the actions of our faith, not just the blatant social actions, like when Jesus tells us that we need to take care of the poor and the naked mm-hmm. and visit the prisoner. But James even talks about the tongue. He says, if you claim to be religious, but your tongue is out of control, you're not. You're not religious. And again, and we can all fall to that. And I think that all of us in our weakness can say things that are foolish, say things that are hurtful.
Right.
But the true Christian, I think, catches that, repents of that, mm-hmm. and works on speaking, treating people differently.
Right. Right.
So.
And that we work on, I know it's been a lot of years ago, but I struggled with anger and rage, and I said way too much, like way too much. And I hurt people.
Hmm.
And I don't think I realized it at first because I kept on living like that. And then I realized I'm going to lose every relationship I have if I don't learn to control my mouth.
Your words have tremendous weight.
Yes, yes. And God helped me. You know, as I repented, it didn't go away like that in a minute. I love that when God does that, but most of the time for me, Corey, it's like through a process.
Through a process.
And he kind of just helped me see when my feelings got hurt or when I wanted to defend myself and whatever.
And I don't think the point is us thinking that we're ever going to reach a place of perfection,
That's
even
right.
with our tongue. Mm-hmm. But if you and I were to get into an argument and I were to say things that were hurtful, mm-hmm. that I should at the very least recognize
yes.
that, go back to you and say, Monica, I'm so sorry.
Right.
And then repent to the Lord as
yes.
well.
Yes. And I think that's the part that helps us to know that we are children of God
mm-hmm.
because there's that conviction. Mm-hmm. I mean, just yesterday, I said way too much. I didn't scream. I didn't yell. I didn't say a swear word. But I added a little opinion of mine that just really could have been filtered through the Holy Spirit. I did not need to throw that thought out there. And I recognized it immediately. And I said to the person, I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
I'm sorry. So as much as I hate that happened, you know, it happened here at work. So it's like especially bad, right?
Well, if it happened on camera, you can edit that, right?
Exactly. So. And it's like, it's embarrassing, but the great feeling of coming clean, of just telling the person I'm really sorry and telling God, help me not to say too much next time.
Even the coming clean, though, can be a huge witness for people. There have been so many times that I have, you know, even times when, as Christians, we're justified in getting upset and mad mm-hmm. at a situation, at a business or something, that sometimes we take it too far, and though it is maybe not always fair, if that's the right way to say it, I believe we are called to talk at a higher standard,
mm-hmm.
React at a higher standard. And there are times when I have not reacted at a higher standard, addressed that, asked for, you know, someone's forgiveness. I've bought people gift cards when I've felt like I've... But that's a huge witness. And I think even in those moments when we make a mistake, if we will humble ourselves, he
that's
mentions
right.
humility in this as well. If we humble ourselves and go back and approach that, that can be a great witness.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to stay mad or offended at someone that's humble. There's something very, you know, you have to be vulnerable in order to say, I'm sorry. Like I knew better. I should have done better, mm-hmm. but I'm really sorry. And with God's help, I'm not going to do this again. That can really strengthen relationships mm-hmm. and build relationships.
De-escalate situations
yeah.
immensely, too. There's so much hostility and aggression in the world right now, and if more people again would be humble, temper mm-hmm. their tongue, it might save people from murderous situations at times even.
Yeah, because things get way out of control.
Real fast.
Yeah, we can put into motion things with our words that mm-hmm. we didn't ever intend because it just runs away with us because we're not practicing self-control.
That's right.
And self-control is important.
And a product of the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible. And if mm-hmm. that is absent, that should lead us to maybe question some things.
Yeah, just to kind of look. Right? Mm-hmm. To just kind of look, whether it's the book of James or any other book in the Bible, like, do I look like this? How do I behave in relationship with this? And to know that God promises, actually in many places, but in the book of James, mm-hmm. to give us wisdom when we ask.
To my knowledge, the only gift of the Holy Spirit that we are promised to get, it says, generously and ungrudgingly, mm-hmm. Will be given. To my knowledge, the only gift of the Holy Spirit that the Bible promises you, if you ask for it, God will give it every single time.
Every single time.
So that's important. Mm-hmm. That means we should probably be asking
yeah.
for that.
Because I had never thought about that mm-hmm. until you said that in church. I quoted the verse a lot, and I knew that God would answer, right? Wisdom. And he won't give it, you know, in a way that's harsh with us, you know, he's generous with us, but that every time we ask, we can have wisdom.
Correct. I heard a lady say one time, and you and I both have some charismatic roots, and the church that I got saved in was very hyper-focused on the more visible gifts, mm-hmm. tongues and interpretation and healings and things like that, which I am not opposed to any of those things. But I remember there was a woman who said to me one time, and I thought it was quite profound when I heard it. She said, if the world needs a gift right now, it is the gift of discernment or wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you are right. Because mm-hmm. all things kind of flow from that gift of wisdom.
They do.
And if we have that gift, I think we will not only experience the different fruit of the Spirit more, we will experience the different giftings of the Spirit
yeah.
more. And I think that's what James almost leads off with that.
Yeah. That God will give us wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I had never thought until you said it that it's every time we ask. So I have to remember then to ask because it tells us to ask. It doesn't say he just drops it down.
Without doubting.
Without doubting.
Without like the double-mindedness that maybe mm-hmm. he won't. Mm-hmm. But if we ask in confidence, he gives us wisdom.
Yeah. And just believe by faith that mm-hmm. he's doing that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I used to think that meant like right in the moment, I would know exactly what to do. But sometimes like that's not how God works. You
right.
sort of just go through your day and then I have a thought that I know didn't originate from me. Mm. And there, I've got my wisdom. I've got my answer.
That's correct. And it does. I think if we pray for that on the front end, I think when those... And not that we shouldn't pray before certain situations. I prayed a lot on the way here because I'm, you know, going to be on TV with you and that makes me nervous. But I think when we pray on the front end that when situations arise that are surprises or shocks,
yes,
that wisdom does kick in, that we start to see that fruit.
Yes. And the more we do it,
that's
the
correct.
More that we see it in our lives. We've got to take a break. I want you to stay with us. When we come back on Bridges, we're going to continue to talk about practical faith and stay in the book of James.
Join the Bridges community on Facebook. Visit Facebook and search for Bridges with Monica. We would love to connect with you.
Life can be hard and days can be long. So if you're looking for hope for the journey, MonicaSchmelter.com is a great place to get started. On MonicaSchmelter.com, you'll find Monica's teachings on demand. And if you're looking to really grow your faith, you'll find online extras are available with every teaching. So don't wait another day. Get started now at MonicaSchmelter.com and you will find hope for the journey.
Don't give in. God's word says you're an overcomer. If you hadn't done blah, 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 this wouldn't have happened. And let me say this to you. If you think that you are in a mess of your own making, you are still an overcomer. When that temptation comes, you want to make sure that you are dressed for battle. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. It takes training. It takes discipline. And so when you're fighting that good fight of the faith, you take your story, whatever it is, and you saturate it in faith, and you fight for it.
Visit MonicaSchmelter.com to schedule Monica to speak at your next event.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
If you're just joining us on Bridges today, we are talking about practical faith. And what better book of the Bible to talk about that than the book of James? And, you know, Corey, we've both been talking about kind of this book was written by the half-brother of Jesus, James, who calls himself a servant, doesn't name drop, which is just wonderful.
I love how you said half-brother. same mom, different dads.
Yes. And I know some people would even argue that, but there are just some people that will argue anything.
Correct.
And I just say, does it really matter, right?
No.
He's a servant.
That's right.
He calls himself the brother, so I'm going to take him at his word.
That's right.
We know there was a time he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but I totally get that, because if my sister or my brother had told me that they were deity, or I would be like, yeah, right.
Right.
Save
you
it for another
miracles.
Time. Exactly. And Jesus did plenty of that. But so we're in just the James chapter one. Mm-hmm. What is something else that just stands out to you? I know that you've taught this book several times at our church.
Something else that really, really jumps out at me. The phrase, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I find that phrase interesting. We talked about hearing the word, doing the word, but there is this kind of deliberate and conscious action of taking this, not just the book of James, this the entirety of this book. And he says, implanting it, putting it in us. And that saves our soul.
Yes.
It is not this paper and leather that saves our soul, but the knowledge that is in this book. And this is a troubling thing. And again, in our culture, even in Christian culture right now, there is such a lack of emphasis on this word. And we wonder why in the United States, a third of the United States almost, not quite a third, but almost, it's 100 million people who do not affiliate with any religious belief whatsoever.
That's frightening.
It's 100 million people. That's a lot of people.
It's frightening.
That you have the church, the Christian church in the United States, plummeting in attendance. And it has become impotent, if you will, in the United States almost. That's not all churches. But I think it goes to the core of, James says, we have to implant this. And this is what saves us.
Right. And it takes... it takes effort on our part, right? We are saved by grace.
Amen.
We're saved by grace, but still faith without works is dead.
Well, and even what it says in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith to do good works.
Yeah.
If we just continue reading that.
Yes, that he planned for us long ago.
That's right.
Ephesians 2:10 says. And so I look at, so when I look at humbly implants, then I ask myself, so how can I do that, right? Mm. So one way is to read the Bible and to pray and to go to church and listen to things taught. So then what I do is, like, after your lesson, I usually go to Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And so on Monday we'll be available. I can watch the live.
Right. Okay.
So I do that so I can listen to it again, because I find that if I don't challenge myself that way, I forget what I hear.
Interesting.
So if I really want to dig into it, and it would be different for other people. Some people journal. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big journal person.
Right.
I'm not against that. Again, we all learn different ways. Mm-hmm. and God works in our lives in different ways. I just try to give myself every opportunity with every message to like really dig in and make sure that I'm doing my best to get it.
Well, it's interesting. My wife does the exact same thing. She goes to the 7 o'clock on Saturday, watches it again on Sunday morning. Just, it's just her way. If she missed something, you know, maybe mm-hmm. if she was reading along and I said something and she missed it, and she just likes to get it twice.
Yes.
And, I think also not just hearing it, not just being at church, but taking the opportunity to practice these things mm-hmm. that it says, and again, you picked the book of James, which is probably one of the most straightforward books of the Bible. Do this, don't do this. And so we need to just practically put it into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I think we see that when these things work, if we temper our tongue and that seems to work in our relationships, work in the job, whatever, mm-hmm. It builds faith, not only in the wisdom of this book, but in God. And we start to do it
yes.
more. And it, like he says, it starts to take root.
Mm-hmm.
It does get implanted.
Yes. Yes. And supernaturally it begins to grow, but we have to take that first step.
That's right.
And for me, humbly implanted, I just made the decision that I'm just not ever going to get offended at anyone preaching the word. It doesn't matter, right? It just, that's God's word. There's no room for me to be offended. There's no room for me to act like I'm confused or why did he say that or why did she say that? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
If one claims to be a follower of Jesus, it shouldn't make sense to anyone who is a follower of Jesus. If I am a follower of Monica, what Monica says, what Monica writes, I apply and do because I trust you to lead me. And so if I'm a follower of Christ, it's the same principle.
Yes.
If the Holy Spirit is in me, if this word is being given to me, I've been talking about this a lot, and maybe I'm grinding an axe, but I'm just so over people calling themselves Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But not only are they not following the word of God, they have not taken, they have not humbly received and made the opportunity to even know what the word of God says.
Yeah. I have found that making that choice to just not get offended and not to question, because none of us know everything, right? So there may be things that I don't understand that are said. There may be circumstances in my life that I don't understand. But I trust by faith the one whose thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways. And so if he says it, I don't have to defend him to other people. I don't have to like grapple with it. It's like God is God and I'm not. And I just need to receive that.
But you're mature and you're mature in your faith and you're secure in who you are in the Lord. And when people are not mature in their faith, not secure in who they are in the Lord, this becomes a very, very offensive book. We talked about this even last weekend in John. We're in the book of John, and when it says, when it talks about that he becomes the cornerstone, Jesus
yes.
becomes a stumbling block to others. And so if we are immature in our faith or if we are selfish, Jesus is not a foundation to be built upon.
Right.
Jesus is an obstacle.
Right.
And so I think why you can say you don't get offended is because you are humble, you are secure in who you are in the Lord, so we can receive this and it doesn't hurt our feelings. It is, these instructions are for our betterment.
Right. It's because we need it.
Yes.
Right? It's because we need it. There have been times that I've been sick and I don't always like the medicine, right?
Correct.
But if the medicine is making me better, I just need to do that.
That's right.
Because it makes me better. And so I think, because I feel badly that people are not mature in faith, when I hear you quote those statistics of how many people that just don't even name any type of faith or belief,
mm-hmm.
I mean, eternity is at stake. So
eternity.
Am I going to be mature about this? Am I going to dig in? Am I going to do these things? Are we all going to do these things? Do we care about these people that don't believe?
And again, it all goes back to this choice that we have. I think this real book, this whole real book is the kind of crossroads to, will we decide to pursue self or will we decide to deny self,
mm-hmm.
pick up a cross and follow him, the Bible says. So, again, until we reach a point to where we are humble enough to say, my ways don't work,
yeah.
this will never make any sense.
Well, the thing is, none of our ways work.
Amen.
I've tried a lot of ways on my own, and it's all been a colossal fail.
Amen.
Nothing's ever been for my betterment. Mm-hmm. It's just been a colossal fail. Mm-hmm. I've lived offended. I've thought, well, if they don't apologize, I'm not going to forgive. I've thought, well, you know, I know that's the right thing to do, but I'm just going to try to do this over here. Mm-hmm. And it always comes back to me.
Look at society as a whole right now.
Yeah.
I mean, in every way, we are failing statistically in every way. But again, our lack of humility as a society on a macro level, our lack of humility is just propelling us further and further down a hole.
Right. And we hear the lack of humility when people say, well, this is my truth and you can have your truth. And it's like, that's all a lie.
What an arrogant phrase to say that I, Corey, create truth.
Exactly. And that I can decide who I am, right? And what I identify as. I mean, are we kidding?
Fun fact. So if you go back and research any civilization, any empire that has ever fallen, all the same markers that we're experiencing right now in the United States have always been there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know that any one of us can do something about all of that. But the one thing that we can do, right, is we can get on our knees.
Amen.
And be humble.
Amen.
And I can say, okay, God, moving forward, right, I want to live to bring you glory. I want to surrender because I realize my ways don't work. And then the more that I do that and the more that I open myself to the word, my faith is going to grow.
Not just yours, though. You'll raise your children differently. Mm-hmm. You'll treat your husband differently. Mm-hmm. You'll treat your coworkers differently. It does, crass way of saying it, but it does bleed onto other people.
Yes.
That blood does bleed onto others.
Yes. And there will be people. I mean, I have people in my life that I know they're not believers yet, but they're willing to have a relationship with me because I will listen to them.
You're civil. You're decent.
Yes. And I'm not mean, and I'm not hateful, and I don't act like I'm all joyful because they're going to hell, right? And I'm not looking to put their sins in their face. I do share truth, but I listen to what they have to say also.
Amen.
And I respond to them like a person because there was a day that I was very lost, and I hated Christians, and I thought everybody was a hypocrite.
That's right.
And I was real happy about it because I was too dumb to know any better at that time.
Yeah, and that's a pretty disturbing thing too. Not for you, but I think all of us have felt that too, that there's some sort of pride within us as Christians that I'm right, you're wrong, and that's really all I care about. And I think it's John chapter 9 when the disciples see a blind man and they go, "Hey Jesus, is he blind because he was bad or his parents were bad?" And Jesus is like, "You're missing the whole point."
Exactly.
You're not looking at him as a human. You're looking at him as a theological conundrum.
Exactly. When I see people on social media want to argue about the most ridiculous things,
what a waste.
And I think, waste of time, waste of all of this. No one gets saved as a result of
and
that.
A bad example to non-believers.
Such a bad example. They don't even want to be near us because we can't think of we just sometimes don't have anything intelligent to say.
And that's
like,
correct.
Just leave it alone. Build relationships with
that's
people.
Right.
Faith without works, right? We
that's
love
right.
one another.
That's right.
Because we're sisters and brothers. So we're out of time on James chapter 1. But thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm so glad that all of you could join us today for Bridges, where we bring you hope for the journey. We're going to continue on, Corey and I, and go through the book of James so that we can mature and do things God's way. We'll catch you next time on Bridges.
Don't miss another episode of Bridges. Subscribe to our YouTube channel today where you can find all of Monica's latest teachings. Just visit youtube.com, search Monica Schmelter, and click subscribe. Once subscribed, click the bell icon to get notified when a new episode is available. Thanks for watching Bridges.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.